They, I'll be speaking on hope. Let's hope my voice holds out. I've had that little green guy from the Mucinex commercial living in my lungs now for about a week, and I issued a Mucinex-coded eviction notice, but he has me tied up in eviction court right now. If you hadn't noticed, the pastors of our church we're kind of tag-teaming Advent, and we're preaching on the various topics within the Advent season, and I drew the three wise men. And when the three wise men, I come to think of these guys.
Hippopotamus for Christmas, a hippopotamus is all I want. Don't want a doll, no dinky tinker toy. I want a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. I don't think Santa Claus will mind you. He won't have to use our dirty chimney flue. Just bring him through the front door, that's the easy thing to do. I can see me now on Christmas morning, creeping down the stairs. Oh, what joy and what surprise when I open up my eyes and see my hippo hero standing there. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. No crocodiles or rhinoceroses. I only like hippopotamuses, and hippopotamuses like me too. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. A hippopotamus is all I want. Pop says a hippo would eat me up, but then teacher says a hippo is a vegetarian. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas, the kind I saw last summer in the zoo. We've got room for him in our garage. We feed him there and wash him there and give him his massage. I can see me now on Christmas morning creeping down the stairs. Oh, what joy and what surprise when I open up my eyes to see my hippo hero standing there. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. No kangaroos or ductile platypuses. I only like hippopotamuses, and hippopotamuses like me too.
Those wise men, the Three Stooges, want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Aren't the Three Stooges a classic? I want a hippopotamus. You know, many people hope for many different things. Some hope for a new iPod or a new iPhone or the latest tech gadget. Some want that juju pet, the ones that are not hazardous and toxic. Others hope for that new plasma TV, complete with the Blu-ray set of the remastered Star Treks. People hope for a lot of things that are more like wishes. The good things about this type of hope is if it doesn't come to fruition, the world's not going to come to an end. It's not necessarily bad if you don't get a juju pet or a new iPhone or that TV or those kind of things that you're hoping for at Christmas time or any other time. But, you know, if the kids get Malibu Princess Barbie instead of Hollywood Princess Barbie, it's not the end of the world, you know. Although them rolling around on the floor screaming on Christmas morning may seem like it. But those kind of hopes, those kind of wishes, the consequences of they're not happening aren't all that great. But there's times when others might be hoping for things that are slightly more tangible. I'm hoping to keep my job. I'm hoping to find a job. I'm hoping to keep my home. I hope that I can find some place to sleep. These things are less trivial. And having hope to hang on to is very important in these circumstances. Hope. It's a word that can lift your spirits when you're down. Hope of a better tomorrow keeps people going, even when life seems to be going in seven different directions, every one of them wrong. Hope has been used by politicians as a campaign slogan. Hope is like having an anchor into the future. The problem with hope is that it can be based on uncertainty. When the Three Stooges hope for a hippo from Santa, they don't actually know if they're going to get one or not. It's more of a wish, because the outcome isn't certain. We can hope for some particular outcome. We can hope that the Blazers don't have any more injuries. We can even be pretty sure of the outcome. But things can still go wrong, dashing all of our hopes. There is, however, a hope that is indeed based on certainty. You can be certain that that type of hope isn't just a wish, that it will come true. There are things that you can hope for with utter confidence that they will happen. This is the type of hope that the wise men had. Their hope was based on God's promises. And since God always fulfills his promises, they had absolute hope. They had absolute confidence that their hope would be fulfilled. So what exactly was it that the wise men were hoping for after traveling all of that distance to Bethlehem? They were hoping for a king that would bring an end to war. They were hoping for a king that would bring an end to suffering and injustice. They were hoping to find the king that would bring everlasting love and joy and peace to this world. How did they know that he was coming? How did they know how to follow a star? And what does any of this have to do with me? Well, hope is one of the strongest motivators of the human soul. The smallest, slightest hope can keep somebody going. Hope can win elections. The best kind of hope, however, is a hope that is based on certainty. Biblical hope, hope based on God's promises, is this type of hope. Biblical hope is tied to the person of Jesus Christ. If we believe in him, and the word believe is translated from the Greek word pisteo, which is more than just acknowledging something exists. Pisteo is like the difference between believing that the water main is broken and fixing it. The pisteo type of belief is fixing it. It's doing it. It's acting on that belief. If we believe in Jesus, then we can have that certain hope. It's this certain biblical hope through Jesus Christ that links us to the promises that God has made for his people. The lesson of the three wise men, not to be confused with the three wise guys, illustrates the certainty of biblical hope. The three wise men arrived in Jerusalem after a very long, very expensive journey. What brought them to Jerusalem wasn't a wish, but it was a certainty. They were certain that the King of the Jews had been born, and they had come to worship him. We learn from the wise men that God is the source of hope, and Jesus is the fulfillment of that hope. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we've come to worship him." Now, these wise men were Gentiles. They weren't Jews, but they believed in God. They believed in the same God that the Jews believed in and worshiped. And they were looking for the Messiah. Now, we don't really know all that much from the Bible about the wise men. What we know is mostly from tradition, history, and speculation. We knew, though, for a fact, they weren't kings, as in, "We three kings of Orient are..." That's wrong. But instead, they were advisors to kings. They were king makers. They were from either Persia, which we know today as Iran, or from Babylon, which we know today as Iraq. The word magi, sometimes the three wise men are called magi, come from the Greek word magoi, which is from a Persian word meaning a select group of priests. Now, these priests served as religious, civil, and political counsel to the kings of Media, which is a region of northern Iran, and also Persia. And during this time, they were known as king makers because their duties included choosing the kings of the realm. They would have been educated in astronomy, astrology, science, math, and religion. There are other magi in the Bible. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These men were in kingmaker roles as well. They were magi. And it's possible that the influence of Daniel and his friends actually connects to the magi of the New Testament. It was their influence on the kings of Babylon that included a belief in the Jewish God. And it's likely that the magi of the New Testament did indeed believe in God and were waiting for the coming of the Jewish king, the Messiah. The magi of the New Testament would have had Daniel's writings, which included this prophecy. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 26. "A period of 70 sets of seven has been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish their rebellion, to put an end to their sin. A period of 70 sets of seven has been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish their rebellion, to put an end to their sin, to atone for their guilt, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to confirm the prophetic vision, and anoint the most holy place." Now listen and understand. Seven sets of seven plus 62 sets of seven will pass from the time the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem until a ruler, the anointed one, comes. Jerusalem will be rebuilt with streets and strong defenses despite the perilous times. After this period of 62 sets of seven, the anointed one will be killed, appearing to have accomplished nothing. And a ruler will arise whose armies will destroy the city and the temple. The end will come with a flood, and war and its miseries are decreed from that time to the very end. This is the only place in the Bible that gives the number of years until the coming of the king, 480 years after the decree calling for the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Well, the Magi simply did the math, and they realized it was the time for the coming of the king. It's significant to note the Jewish political and religious leaders hadn't done the math. They weren't looking for the king. Now, there's also this star. We know that the Magi followed a star. We don't know if the star was really maybe a comet or the coming together of astrological phenomenon or what. But we do know that God had a supernatural hand in leading the Magi to the place where Jesus was. There's some astronomers, including Dr. Hugh Ross, who believe that the star of Bethlehem may have been a recurring supernova, a star way out in space, having bright explosions, and then going dormant, and then having bright explosions, and that the Magi saw the light from that star, and it would come, and it would go away. The Magi were given a sign by this star, and they knew by the prophecy when the king was coming. So they headed on a journey that may have been thousands of miles, and they headed towards Jerusalem, the Jewish capital. Now, the arrival of the three wise men of the Magi upset the entire city. Now, they probably arrived with a caravan and an escort of soldiers. But their question for the king, King Herod, probably upset things even more. Matthew chapter 2, verse 3. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everybody in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea. For this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Herod wasn't born king of the Jews. Herod wasn't even a Jew. He was appointed king by the Roman Senate. Herod was a cruel and dangerous man who killed anyone and everyone who threatened his authority. He killed three of his own sons, one of his wives, his mother-in-law, his brother-in-law, his uncle, and 300 of his court officers, among others. Herod saw this newborn king as a rival for his throne. He consulted the Jewish scholars, and they told him of the prophecy, which says that the king will be born in Bethlehem. Matthew 2, verse 7. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." The hope of the Magi was about to be fulfilled by their traveling to Bethlehem and seeing the newborn king in person. This hope was based on the truth of Scripture. It is a hope that's available to all of us. God guides us in our relationship with Him, just as God sent a star to guide the wise men. The Magi studied God's Word to learn more about God, just as we can gain knowledge and understanding by studying that same Bible. One thing we can learn from God's guidance and study of Scripture is that Jesus is the fulfillment of hope. The fulfillment of hope of the wise men would be when they found the king, when they found Jesus. Verse 9, after this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house, and they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, Bethlehem is about 4 miles south of Jerusalem. Unlike most of the nativity scenes we see, the Magi weren't present with the shepherds at Jesus' birth. Instead, they found him several months later in a house. We know this because Herod was looking for boys under the age of 2, not just newborns. In our film clip today, we're going to see the wise men at the manger. which isn't historically correct. The filmmakers wanted to keep the focus of the story on the beauty of that nativity scene. And to have a several months later scene in a house somewhere would have taken away from that slightly.
Of myrrh to honor thy sacrifice.
The Magi brought gifts for Jesus that would foreshadow his ministry. They brought gold because of his royalty. They brought frankincense because of his deity. Frankincense is a sweet incense that is used during sacrifices in the temple. And they brought myrrh for his humanity. Myrrh is a fragrant embalming ointment, and it's used as the wrappings of the deceased, like the shroud Jesus would be wrapped in at Calvary, that would be left empty on Easter Sunday. These gifts would provide much needed money for Joseph and his young family as they fled to Egypt to escape Herod. Verse 12, when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. God spoke to the wise men just as he had spoke to Joseph in a dream, warning them to avoid Herod and his treachery. The Magi illustrate to us that God is the source of hope, and Jesus is the fulfillment of that hope. We gain hope when we choose to follow Jesus. What are you hoping for this Christmas? A new tech gadget? A toy? Maybe you're hoping for some stability. Maybe you're hoping for a hippopotamus. God has hope for you this Christmas. And no matter what your hopes are for this Christmas, even a hippopotamus, what God hopes for you is far, far more valuable. Here are some things that God hopes for you. God hopes that you will believe in His Son, Jesus, so that He can give you everlasting life. God hopes that you'll let Him guide you on your journey through this life. God hopes that you will continue to follow the example and the teachings of His Son in this life until He comes again. The wise men found Jesus. You can find Him too. Many people hope not to die. You can buy pills and oils and creams and surgical procedures designed to make you look younger and live longer. People get sick. They have hope to get better. But even when you look younger, even if you're miraculously healed, you will die someday. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he's dead and buried today. But Jesus came to give us everlasting life. Jesus said, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life." Jesus was born to die. When he died on the cross, it was to take away the punishment for our sins, yours and mine. But Jesus did not stay dead. He rose from the dead and offers to all who believe, all who have pisteo in him, everlasting life. We read in Hebrews, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone there for us. The wise men were led by God. God is willing to guide you every day of your life. The Magi followed the directions of God's word to Jesus and submitted to him as their king. Let us follow in the footsteps of the wise men and worship and serve our king.